This is Halftime Adjustments on WPXI Now.
Welcome to Halftime Adjustments. We are officially, I think, with this show, we are officially, Chris Carter, on the other side of the week, meaning we're over the hump, meaning it's all downhill from here, meaning take a breath. It's time to talk about what everybody's talking about, and that's sports. It's a great diversion, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Albie. It's such a great way to break up your week, get some breaks in. There's some interesting sports going on in Pittsburgh right now.
Well, we're going to talk about the Steelers and the Pirates a little bit later, but let's just start with the Penguins because, well, it's been an interesting week for the Penguins. First of all, they welcomed back fans on a limited basis last night, 2,800 fans, and they were perhaps motivated by those fans a little bit because the Penguins came out without their captain, Sidney Crosby, and beat up the Philadelphia Flyers, which is a great way to start March in this homestand. Sidney Crosby and the COVID, NHL COVID protocol. Again, that next man up mentality, it goes way beyond just the Steelers, and the Penguins have been employing that, and they were able to come up with a big effort against the Flyers without Sid.
Agreed. I mean, it's a huge rivalry, Albie. They need to kind of set the tone for how this is going to go this year. We all know what the deal is. They're in an extremely competitive division. I think the Penguins, they're figuring some things out. And for them to get a win like that when they found out the day of that Crosby couldn't play, Albie, that's huge. That's a big message that, hey, we still believe in what we're doing here. You've seen the uptick of Tristan Jarry playing better with his save percentage getting higher. His goal allowed percentage being higher. But that's what you want to see right now, is that you want to see that the Penguins are resilient, that they still have that fight in them. And this is what I've said all along. It's always just about get to the playoffs and make sure you're healthy in the NHL. That's it. You do that and you got your key guys available. You can make a run. That's what the Penguins are trying to do. Figure out the ways to cover up their biggest weaknesses. If their goalie play continues to improve, maybe they're in a much better position than a lot of people even gave them credit for, Albie. But certainly the win on Tuesday was very huge for what the Penguins needed. And exciting to see if they can continue that in the homestand.
And you talk about resilience and all that other stuff, and they check all those boxes. I mean, this is a team that somehow figures out a way. It doesn't matter if they're down 3-1 or 4-1, they get back. They're never out of a game. And you know, you get a good feeling about that end of it. You make a great point about the division, and that's the situation that they're in. They have 5 straight home games to start the month of March. One of them is down. 2 more against the Flyers. You gotta be able to beat those teams on top of you to try to cut that point differential. The good news is the Pens were able to do that in the first game, but they can't afford to go into these home and homes. And in this case, there's one extra game on the end and split them because you would also like to beat these teams in regulation because you don't want to get the 2 points and have them get 1 point and cut your game by half. But with Boston and Washington and the Islanders and Philadelphia all in front of them, the Penguins know it's going to be a tough stretch. In this 9-game stretch to start March, they play the Flyers 3 times and they play the Bruins twice. That's 5 tough games in 9. And truthfully, they're all tough because whether you're playing the Rangers or whether you're playing Buffalo, those division games are so important. I think the Penguins know exactly what their situation is, and that is they can't take a night off. They can't have many nights when they let points go by the wayside. It's going to be a fight to the finish. I think everybody realizes that. Right now, technically speaking, they're on the outside looking in, but they're right on the edge of the playoffs, and you try to just get some traction in March, get some traction, gain some ground, and do yourself some good as you get into those games in April. And this year it's extended a little bit, but certainly as you get into April and early May, you want to be clicking on all cylinders.
Absolutely, Albie. And to your point about, you know, making sure that you're winning games in regulation, that was a big part of what made Tuesday great for the Penguins, was on top of not having Crosby, on top of seeing Malkin step up and, you know, you seeing guys step up in different ways, they got 2 points and the Flyers got none. They are tied now with the Flyers in points. Now the Flyers have played less games, so you know that technically that's still to their advantage. But at the same time, you need to make up ground if you're the Penguins. You need to keep pushing. You need to keep fighting to get into the top part of this division. And wins like that can get you on Spurs. And how many times, Albie, over the years, and I know every team is different and everything, but how many times with this core that they're still playing with right now have we seen them struggle, figure things out, and then get hot at a certain point of the year, and that's the push that gets the Penguins into the playoffs and makes them competitive throughout the playoffs. And if they can get on a run, that's what's going to determine things. So, you know, like you said, they got two more games against these Flyers at home. You want to close out, at least win the two out of three here, because then you're at least making sure you're coming out of this 2 points up on them. But you know, I'll be interested, Albie, to see, you know, how they continue to push, because we've seen the Flyers. The Flyers have been a better team this year, you know, because we've seen them down in the dumps in recent years. They've been stepping up. And again, the rest of the division that they're in right now, it's extremely competitive. We knew it would be. So, you know, it'd be a big kudos to be able to get this off to the right kind of start over the next week or two.
Yeah, a couple other things. You know, you look to the game against the Flyers last night, the game that the Penguins were able to win. You mentioned goaltending. Tristan Jarry, he's picking a good time to kind of get it together. There were some questions about Tristan Jarry early. He seems to have things going now. He had 40 saves last night, and there are some guys in front of him, not only on defense, but on the penalty kill in particular. The Penguins are able to shut down that Flyers power play. If they're able to do that against the Flyers, and if they're able to do that against the Capitals, that special teams is so important. Not just the power play, but killing penalties. They were able to do that so well on Tuesday night. And, you know, if they get the goaltending and if they're able to get that power play going and the penalty kill going and the big stars stepping up, Malkin being one of them, I think they'll be fine.
Shoot the puck. That's the name of the game with the power play.
Absolutely. Now you're sounding like Mike Sullivan, and he's so true. He's so right when he says that. Put the puck on net. You'd be surprised what can happen. All right, Chris, thank you. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Steelers. And J.J. Watt went the other way, but we kind of knew that anyway. But we're going to be talking about free agency and some other stuff that they have on their plate. It's going to be a busy offseason. It already is when we return on Halftime Adjustments. Welcome back to Halftime Adjustments. I'm Albie Oxenrider with Chris Carter on the other end from our partners at DKPittsburghSports.com. Chris, are you feeling that football energy that we're expecting to get from now through the offseason?
What do you mean expect to get from now? I always have the football energy, Albie. The day after the Super Bowl, I got football energy. You know me. I'm looking at the Senior Bowl. I'm looking at guys' pro days. It's football 24/7, 365, 366 on a leap year. That's what I do here. It's always football energy. Come on, Albie. I mean, we do fantasy football. You know that I do this all the time. So is it interesting every single day that I wake up and I think, what else could happen in football today? Yes, is the answer. You talked about J.J. Watt going into the break. I got to say, we joked about it. We talked about it on The Final Word and everything and saying, like, it's not going to happen. And even though Jeremy Fowler said the Steelers were very much in the running, and J.J. Watt also went on the Adam Schefter podcast and said, yeah, there was a serious chance there, but – You can't when you're
Chris. Did you actually think that the Steelers might make the move for JJ? I don't. It doesn't matter what you think.
Ooh,
I'm sorry. See, I got you.
You got me. You sly dog.
I got you. See how I sucked you in there?
Yes, you did.
All right, little wrestling reference. Dean, our producer, Kelly's in today, but Dean normally and Chris are trying to always get me to learn the finer points of The Rock and
you
everything.
Silly, sir. But back to the point here. J.J. Watt would have been fine to fit in if everything – but it wasn't going to happen, because when you get teams like the Cardinals offering $15.5 million a year, that's – that if the Steelers were able to pull off everything they wanted to, that would have been at least 75% of the salary cap that they created for themselves. They need that money to re-sign Zach Banner, to figure out, do they want to sign Sutton, Hilton, or both? They need that money to figure out, okay, who's the veteran offensive lineman we can bring back? And then start to figure out, okay, what are we doing right now trying to fill in the depth holes on the roster? That's the focus right now for Kevin Colbert. And then also what I think we're going to see here, Albie, and we're starting to see the remnants of it in certain certain different teams. As free agency gets started on the 17th, you're going to see a lot of teams cut really surprising players trying to figure out their salary cap situation. And that's going to shake up the whole room for what this free agency market is. We may not know. We don't know right now who's going to be available on March 17th. There may be a center who's a veteran who will be, you know, relatively inexpensive for the position, who the Steelers might say, you know what, we're just going to sign him and we won't draft a center in the first, second, or third round. We'll focus on other positions. We'll get a center in the fourth or fifth. And if that guy works out later, great. But we have this veteran guy to hold it down. While that happens, we'll focus on offensive tackle, running back, tight end, linebacker, wherever, you know, but that there's so many things that could happen right now. And that's why free agency is so important.
March 17th, you know what that happens to be? 2 weeks from today. So get it going. All right, just let's do a refresher here. And again, it's going to be difficult to know exactly what the landscape will be until everything is mapped out, the cap, everything else. But it's a foregone conclusion right now that the Steelers won't be able to afford Juju Smith-Schuster. Correct?
Yes, it's done.
Foregone conclusion that James Conner is gone. Conclusion that Al Villanueva will be gone.
Yes.
Foregone conclusion that Bud Dupree will be gone.
Yes.
I mean, this is you know, and it was a foregone conclusion that they weren't going to get J.J. Watt either. But now that he's signed with Arizona and they brought that number 99 out of retirement, he's officially off the map for Steelers fans. But there are still fans out there, and I run into them every day, Chris, and they say, do you think Juju might end up signing here? And the answer is, you know, I can't give you a surefire 100% guarantee, but it seems to me that he's gone. And it seems to me that they're going to have to move forward and make some hard decisions, not only there, but in free agency.
But Albie, you have to think about it. The Steelers fans, they love Juju. They got it. I mean, don't you think that he's at least earned the right to get that kind of love from the fans? I mean, he's.
Oh, sure.
It doesn't matter what you think, Albie. Got him right back in.
You got me right back.
But in all seriousness, Steelers fans, we all feel you. You know, Juju has made big plays. He was the guy that replaced Antonio Brown. He had a 1,400 yard season. He has, you know, he knocked out Vontaze Perfect. He filled that kind of Hines Ward receiver role. That's all great and fun. But the bottom line is, in the 3 years after he was drafted, they drafted James Washington, Deontay Johnson, and they just got Chase Claypool, who had 13 touchdowns as a rookie. All three of those guys drafted in the early rounds of the draft. That's just a sign they were ready to, if they needed to, not have to pay Juju. So that's what this all came down to. They knew this was going to be a tough cap year. They planned for that. And if Juju comes back on a cheap deal, great. But I'm telling you, there's a team like the Colts who has like $70 million in cap space right now, maybe a little less because they brought in Carson Wentz, but they've got a ton of money that they're willing to spend and they need a wide receiver. I could see him going there, playing with Carson Wentz and a team that has a really good, offensive line and a strong young running back, and he'll fit in fine there and he'll play great. But that's the thing is that the Steelers, they don't have all that much to offer him.
This is off the beaten path, but since you mentioned Carson Wentz, your thoughts on him going to Indy, you think he'll find the success that kind of went away from him in Philadelphia?
It doesn't matter what I think. I see what you're trying to do there.
I do need your answer on that.
But in all seriousness, I do think Carson Wentz getting the reset button with Frank Reich, I think that's huge for him. He's still a young, talented quarterback. You know, he got ruined in Philadelphia, but someone's at least going to give a former, you know, second overall pick a shot. And that's why I think that they're at. They're like, hey, if it doesn't work, you get rid of him at some point and you took the shot. But Indy needed a quarterback. They've got an offensive line. They've got a running back. They've got a young receiver in Michael Pittman they like. If they get a Juju, you're putting Carson Wentz in a great situation with a young and developing defense. I think it was a smart move. It is a smart move for Indy to get him. It would be a smart move for them to attach Juju there as well.
Well, Wentz-Sylvania didn't quite work out, but maybe Windiana will. We'll see. We'll see. You like that?
Yeah, 6 out of 10.
All right, you got me too. You came right back. All right, we're going to come back and talk about the Pirates. Spring training's underway, and I know that there's not a lot of expectations for the Pirates, but it's always a great thing when you see them playing in the sunshine of Bradenton, Florida. We'll be back to talk about that on Halftime Adjustments right after this. Welcome back to Halftime Adjustments. We've talked about the Penguins. We've talked about the Steelers. And, well, why not talk about the Pirates? I mentioned going into the break, Chris, that the expectations were obviously very low for this team. But sometimes a team's best friend is low expectations. I'm not expecting anything this year. They're planning for the future. I think they're building for the future. But it's still fun to see baseball starting up. They're in Florida where it's nice and warm and weather that we know that we're going to get sometime soon, hopefully. Your thoughts on where the Pirates are and what they've done up to this point with the new regime to try to start to build a winner for the future?
I mean, the whole thing here is fleshing out who are the guys that believe in your organization and in that they can believe in, that they can be part of something in the near future. Most of the guys that are on the roster right now aren't going to be on this team, you know, in this ball club when they're actually making a push to be competitive again. We know that, Albie. That's just how this works. But this is about figuring out amongst your young pitchers that you have on the staff right now, who's going to be the guys that you want to keep around and who can be the baller. And, you know, right now we're talking about, there's a lot of talk. Everyone kind of just presumed that Kumar Rocker is going to be the number one overall pick. But now there's talk about how there's a chance that, you know, that maybe he's not. Maybe it's his teammate from Vanderbilt, Jack Leiter, who might be the number one overall pick. But there's so many things here about the Pirates that this – and our beat writer, Alex J. Stumpf, he did a podcast on the DK Sports Radio Network, which you should all check out if you get a chance, because we all speak on that. But he did a podcast a while back saying, like, this 2021 isn't about 2021 for the Pirates. It's just not. And what I think is great about this – for the Pirates is the people who are going to be going to the games now, because we do know that they will be able to have fans. They can watch these games from a sense that, you know what, you know, I haven't seen a baseball game live in 2 years, you know, and that's been rough. I'll be happy to enjoy some baseball. And just, even though we know that this team's not going anywhere, we get that sense of satisfaction from
it. Yeah, right.
And you're seeing, you can be here and say, okay, I was here when such and such pitched and started to show who he was, or I was here when such and such started to figure out how to hit the ball consistently and went on a few runs. Those are the things that you should be looking for this year. So it's rough, but at this point, if you're a Pirates fan and you're still here thinking about the Pirates, you've resigned yourself to that. You know where they're at. I think it's encouraging that they've kind of acknowledged it themselves and they're moving forward with that. But I'm also on the side of, for those people who say, I'm not giving the Pirates the benefit of the doubt, you have every right to not do that. They've earned that criticism that, like, until you show me that you can be competitive again, I'm not going to believe that you're going to get it done.
Yeah, and I appreciate what you're saying there about the Pirates and the fact that fans will just be glad to see baseball. And if there's such a thing as a bright side to the predicament that the Pirates are in right now, and certainly with all that everybody has dealt with on a very, very profound level with COVID and the pandemic, I think that actually puts the Pirates in a good spot where, as you say, people will just be excited to see baseball, and they're not going to necessarily judge the Pirates on whether they win 60 games or 65 games. It's just a chance to go out and enjoy what all fans haven't been able to enjoy for the past year. I know for one, when I went to the opening game last year, the home opener, it was so strange just to see the players lined up on the first and third base lines and have what would normally be a pregame ceremony with a jam-packed PNC Park. It was just so bizarre, as you've experienced with all the games. I mean, it's the same with the Steelers and the Penguins and you know, NBA when they were playing in the bubble. It was a different way of watching sports last year. And a little bit, even if there's only 20% capacity at PNC Park, and even if the Pirates aren't competitive this year, I think it's a welcome sight. And that enough, I think, will be able to satisfy the fans. I really do.
I do too. I think this is going to be a sense of the crack of the bat, you know, a home run. I mean, you know, someone going after a home run. That would be a refreshing feeling. I mean, heck, you know, seeing even the few fans that were at the Penguins game, that was refreshing for people being able to be in that kind of environment again. it's still kind of weird. I still flinch. I'm like, why are people so close to each other? Like, you know, just seeing that is kind of bizarre at times in sports, you know, because I've gotten so used to having to just deal with the pandemic. You know, how many pit games have I covered where the Pete or Heinz Field was just empty, and, you know, and all we heard was that fake crowd noise being pumped in. You know, it's the same thing in all sports. I mean, the Steelers, like you said, Heinz Field, there's never been a game where Heinz Field hasn't been rocking, or at least, you know, if fans are upset, they're making it known. That whole element to getting that kind of fan and you know, experience back, and that was why PNC Park was built. PNC Park was built to be one of the best fan experiences in the country, with the not just the look onto the city, but the facilities and the things that it brings to the table, and the way that the seating works. I think that having that back would be a nice treasure to have back in the city, even with the Pirates playing it the way that they are. I'm a sports guy. You know, I've never been a diehard baseball guy, but I've always followed the Pirates. And I was born in 1989. By the time I was able to actually like walk around and enjoy sports, the Pirates stunk anyway, but I still wanted to go every year because of that. I think that Pittsburghers will relish in that opportunity this year.
Yeah. And I think you learn to move on. You learn to deal with the new normal. I mean, even something as simple as you and me and so many others who would normally have an opportunity to go into locker room. So that's not going to happen anytime soon, but we've gotten used to it. We've gotten used to doing this great show on Zoom. And I think that and so many other things, we've learned to deal with Zoom. We've learned to deal with distancing. And if the fans come back a little bit at a time, I think it's going to be a great thing for everybody's psyche, just to have something positive to rally around, even if it's only 15 or 20%. All right, back with our final thoughts on Halftime Adjustment right after this. Welcome back to Halftime Adjustments, our final minute. I'm Albie Oxenrider with Chris Carter. And Chris, you talk about Steelers offseason picking up steam, and I know it never slows down for you. Baseball starting up, hockey, the games are going to become more interesting, and the weather is starting to break. I really feel positive with a lot of good things going on. Do you feel the same?
Yeah, I feel the same. I feel like it's nice. Once I'm not a cold weather person, I like that. But, you know, a lot of positive things are happening in Pittsburgh. And one of the things I think is that Jeff Capel has held on to his basketball program. You know, people thought it was calamitous. It was a disaster when Xavier Johnson and Audis Tony transferred out back-to-back days. But what's apparent to me, Albie, is that these players still believe in it. The way they fought in these last two games, he's got young players like Femi Odekala and William Jeffers who can be part of his future. That's a major part of this program that they need to go forward. I think the Pitt Panthers still got a future with Jeff Capel.
All right. Pitt Panthers with one more game against Clemson, and the Duquesne Dukes starting the Atlantic 10 tournament on Thursday morning. Thanks, Chris. I'm Albie Oxenrider, and thank you for joining us here in Halftime Adjustments. We'll see you next week, as always, right here on WPXI Now.